وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا لا تنسى وفقها في الدين. وبعد
for those who were here, and a reminder for those who were here, we were talking about the verses basically where the disbelievers were mocking, or they were trying to mock Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you know, in other verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are trying to mock Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of their mocking.
Someone turned it on the actual amplifier.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1,
2, 3. How's it going?
Have you lost the vaccine this morning?
No, no, no.
Really? We were talking about the verses where the disbelievers are mocking Allah, or they're trying to mock Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather, because they, in their mental capacity, they think they're mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's certainly not the case. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues their conversation with us, and He tells us of how they are still adamant in their mocking the believers, and they say, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So they're saying, these disbelievers, they're saying to the believers, so when is this promise of yours, if you are the truthful, i.e. the promise of heaven and the promise of hell, or the promise of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, or the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending us something from the bounties of heaven, like the people when they said to Isa alayhi salam, oh Allah, send us from the heaven a ma'ida, a table, so we can eat from it, and then we know that, okay, you're telling the truth. You know, it wasn't enough for them that Isa alayhi salam was telling them, they wanted something, you know, to touch, because like today, people are, you know, drowned in material. If they can't touch it, if they can't feel it, then it's not enough for them, you know. So they're saying, so where is this promise that you've been promising us, you know, of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are really sincerely truthful to us? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِيَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. And they shall not see except for one band, a big bang, which will take them, and this bang will take them, and they will still be in their quarrels and in their moaning and groaning between themselves, and they will remain complaining amongst themselves until this bang, this one bang, will come and destroy everything on the face of the earth, referring to the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the beginning of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes a point by saying one band, to show to these people that it's enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you're asking for so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's enough for Him to give you one band and that's it, you'd all be finished. But unfortunately, people will continue to moan and groan and quarrel between themselves in their ignorance. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And they will not be able to to do tawsiyah. to reconcile with their families, and they shall not be able to return. Return to what? Return to their errors and return to their sins, and or return to the world and to act in and do good deeds. Because what will the disbeliever say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it's the time for questioning? They will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, only if you give us a chance, we can go back and we'll work on it, and we'll do good. But it's come to the stage where it's come to a point of no return, and that's it. But they will, you know, still in their ignorance, try to take Allah Ta'ala, you know, given a chance, let us come back to the dunya and do some good. But unfortunately, this will not be of any good to them, so they will not be able to return. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْصِلُونَ. And it will be blown in a trumpet, and they will be when the in the previous verse when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says that from a bang everything should be destroyed. At that point, everything on the earth which is living will be destroyed. So there will be no human life left, or animals, or anything of the sort. Then what will happen is the trumpet will be blown, and then everybody, from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the last person who will die, they will all rise. They shall all rise from their grave, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, and they shall return to their Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. And what shall they say? They shall say, who has woken us? Who has awoken us from our grave, from our place of rest? And a sound will come to them, and a voice will come to them, and shall say, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And this is what your Lord has promised to you, and what the messengers have verily spoken truthfully to you. So what your Lord has promised you, the same thing that you were always asking about and saying, you know, where is this promise of yours? This is the promise. Where everybody will arise from their graves, from the beginning of time to the end of time. And this is the promise that those messengers who came to you, that we spoke about in the beginning of the surah, and when they were mocking these messengers, this is the promise of those messengers who told you about the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you were arrogant and rejected his path. So everything will become clear, you know, and it's exactly like someone, you know, going into a court case, and, you know, he'll be saying to himself, you know, or and try to convince the people that he didn't do this crime. But the truth will come out, you know. But of course, for this is the Masal A'la, the highest of examples, because there will be nothing that should be concealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِيَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. And it was not except one great bang, and that they are all in front of us, محضرون, present. You know, no one will escape. No one will be able to hide. You know, there's no place to run. Everybody and everything will be present from the beginning of creation to the end of creation. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة. نعم. فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون. And this day, or today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to bring them closer to that day. So in the rhetoric of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say al-yawm, this day or today. So in their minds it will be in front, it's as if it's in front of them, and they can, you know, vision this day. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and on this day no one will be wronged. You know, no, in the dunya you may be wronged, you might go to court and get banned off for something you didn't do. And maybe, you know, you go to court and someone will get away with a crime that they committed against you. But on this day, no one's going to get away with anything, you know. And no one will be wronged, not a single soul. And you will not be rewarded except for that what you had done in this dunya, from your actions. You know, every single action that you have done in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. And that's why there's a need for us to be sincere in our actions, you know, and not to do our actions for the sake of other people, you know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to be rewarding us. You know, in our eyes we might be seeing the people, by them praising us or looking up to us and, you know, maybe giving us even something, we're thinking, yeah, you know, it's something special and we're feeling good about it. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's going to give us the reward, or he's going to give us the punishment. So it's something to for us to ponder and bear in mind when we do our actions, that we do them with sincerity. And how do we do these actions with sincerity? You know, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to give us sincerity, then He won't. So our job is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lower ourselves, and you know, don't see ourselves in front of anything or anybody. And one of our scholars, one of our shuyukh, who was the founder of our school, he used to say that when he used to go up to the Jummah khutbah and go up to the minbar, when he used to actually even come into the masjid, he used to say, I used to put my shoes and I used to put my nafs, my ego with my shoes, and then I used to go up. You know, because we have to leave our egos and leave ourselves and detach ourselves from our egos and then come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when we, in that state, when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to us, you know, in abundance and far greater than what we can ever imagine. Naam. So everybody will be rewarded for what they're going to do, and everybody will be punished for likewise for what they have not been doing or what they have been doing in wrongdoing. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe the qualities of the believers, and then after describing the qualities of the believers and the people of Jannah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for them, He will describe the qualities of the disbelievers and the people who have wronged themselves and transgressed against themselves, and what is in, you know, what they're going to come across in the next life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغْلٍ فَاكِهُونَ, that indeed the people, the companions of Al-Jannah, the garden, Al-Paradise, Al-Yawm, today, or in that day, fi shughlin fatihun, they will be in shughl, you know, busy. How? They will be busy, and they are fatihun, and they will be happy. You know, they will be so joyful and so happy that they are, this is keeping them busy, the people of Jannah, and this is the beginning of their reward, that they are just occupied by being happy and joyful. Whom? Not only them. Whom? Them. Wa azwajuhum, and their partners. Fi zilalin ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un, they will be in a shade, and before this shade in Jannah, Allah, in another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers, there is a shade for them also in the time when the sun will be so close to us, it will be as if it's right in front of our faces, and people will be drenched in their sweat to the extent they will be drowning. You know, everybody will be at a different level. People, some will be to their ankles, some to their knees, some to their hips, some to their chest, some to their necks, and some, they will be totally drowned in their sweat. But there will be a people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect with the shadow of His throne subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect are two people who gather together, and they are friends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and a sign of this love that these two people have between themselves is that if one will do wrong, or even if this one will do good, the other person will always give him good advice. You know, and subhanAllah, it's a rare quality. I always say to our brothers that, you know, I always used to remember somebody. I say, you know, so and so, the character I used to like about him so much was, if I was going to do something right or something wrong, he would always advise me. Whereas you find many people, they'll say, no, that's fine, yeah, you go ahead and do that, you know. And they'll just boost your ego even more to get you to do something. And in reality, this is the decider, you know, to find who your real friends are. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the person who loves you, he's the one who gives you nasiha. The person who loves you is the one who gives you good counsel. So if he's telling you to do good, or is he giving you good advice to save yourself, then you know that this person is your friend. And if that's not the case, then know this person is not your friend. Regardless of how close he might be to you, he is most certainly not your friend. you know, this is the decider, the ultimatum for deciding who your friend is and who your friend is not. Na'am. So that's one category. And another category, the Prophet ﷺ said in the same hadith, is a person who says the azan for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he comes to the masjid and he says the azan for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, within this category, we could of course include others as well who do things sincerely and in continuity. And in the same hadith, another group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect with his shade, with the throne, shade of his throne, when people are drowning in their sweat, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, a person, shabun, nasha'a fi ta'atillah, a young person who has been born, who has been raised in the ta'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has been raised in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who has a connection to the masajid, to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, such a person will be amongst those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect with the shade of his throne. So we should be grateful that we have been given this opportunity to come into the masajid. You know, and inshallah we'll be amongst these people who will be raised in that group of people who will be protected from the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, it's not something we should belittle and think it's something, you know, it's no big deal coming to the masjid, or no big deal praying, or no big deal doing good acts and deeds. The reward of this is so great, you know, it's unimaginable. It's enough for you to tell a person that he's going to be drowning in his own sweat, and then for him to know that how can he be saved from this, then you tell him that if he comes to the masjid, you know, and if he's clever and he's wise, he'll come to the masjid. That's enough for him, you know. Now, and other people in this category, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, I can't remember the rest of the categories. Inshallah, we'll mention these next week, inshallah. But there's seven categories. So these people and their wives will be in a shade. على الأرائك متكئون, on thrones which on which will they will, on thrones or seats on which will they will be relaxing, and they will be in enjoyment and in pleasure. You know, it's like, can you imagine, Mr. Abdul Hadi, you're sitting in your office and you get a nice comfortable chair with wheels on it, and just, you know, putting your chair back, and then one day they bring you a chair that's got no wheels and you can't put your chair back. That's what it's like. That's what these people are going to be like. The, you know, relaxing, you know, and enthroned on that day. And these are all descriptions to distinguish these people of Jannah from other people. لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ, and for them, in it, in the gardens, are فَاكِهَا, fruits, not just fruits which you eat, you know, apples or pears and bananas, but fruits of enjoyment, fruits of, you know, happiness and joy. Because a fruit, what's the fruit for? You know, you have a meal, then you want to relax, and then you have a fruit to relax. It's something to keep, you know, to calm you down. Something you enjoy, it's like an enjoyment after, like a dessert basically. It was a dessert actually in those days. Now we've got all these cakes and, you know, fancy eclairs and, you know, whatnot. So, you know, there are fruits in the heavens which will be an enjoyment for them. You know, physical fruits and spiritual fruits. And the physical fruits will be not like the fruits that we have today. You know, it might look like an apple, but it certainly won't taste like an apple. Or even you find things that won't even look like apples. They will be far better than apples. Things that your eyes have never seen and your ears have never heard of. Those are the type of fruits you will have in that day, in Jannah. And how will you receive these fruits? You know, today what do? We, even with Asda and Tesco and these kind of places, you phone them up and they deliver it to your house. But there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. And for them is whatever they ask for. You know, you just have to ask for it and you'll get it. And you don't even have to ask for it with your tongue. You just have to think of it. You know, you want a roast, it comes for you. You just have to think about it. That's your asking. You don't even have to, you know, use your tongue, you know. Something which is simple. You don't have to use your tongue to ask for these things. And everything will come in front of you, as they say, on a silver plate. Now these are the bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for the believers. Naam. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is moving on to the characteristics of the opposite group of people, and he's shortlisted the bounties of Jannah, but they're far greater and far more than these bounties which have been mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these in other verses in the Quran, where he says there will be rivers of honey and rivers of Laban, of milk and of yogurt, and you know, and everything, and anything and everything you can think of and you want and you wish, it will be in front of you. These are the bounties you're getting for, you know, and the luxuries. Naam. And you know, we're getting these things, but you think to yourself, hang on a minute, if I'm going to get I'm going to want a, you know, a roast, then I might want a roast again. I'm going to get sick of this roast every time I'm going to have, then I'm going to get something else. I'm just going to go round and round until I get to the point where I've had everything. No. That might be the case here, but there, it will never be the case. You can have the same thing after and after again, but, you know, that satisfaction and fulfillment will never end. You will always want more. And the pleasure will never end. You know, it's endless pleasure in Jannah. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with these pleasures in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because without being in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these things are all worthless. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked one of his companions, he said to him, you know, what do you want? Ask for whatever you want. And he became shy, and then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated his question, he said, you know, what do you want? Ask for whatever you want. Now you can imagine, you know, your boss is asking you, ask for whatever you want. You're going to think of, he's asking you within his capacity. You know, if he's the manager, he's not going to be able to give you something that the chief executive is going to be able to give you. But the people, the Sahaba with the Prophet ﷺ, they never limited his capacity. They never limited to what he had in his house. They never limited to what his companions might have had. They never limited him to what might be on the earth. Rather, they gave him an unlimited status of, and the evidence for that is that the Sahabi, what did he ask him? He said, I want to be with you. I want your companionship in the Jannah. You know, he asked for the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ before he asked for the Jannah. You know, because if he didn't get the companionship with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah, then the Jannah, to him, it's all the same. You know, it's not worth anything to him. And like we mentioned previously, many times that the companion, when he was crying and weeping to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet said to him, why are you crying and why are you weeping? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be in the heavens in the highest abode, and I will be in my place. And that's the reason why I'm crying, because I want to be with you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reassured him. And what did he say to him? He said to him, Al-mar'u ma man ahab. A person, or each and every person, is with whosoever he loves. So whoever you love, you shall be with that person. Whoever you love, you shall be with that person. So you know, if you love the film stars and the pop stars, don't be surprised if you end up with them in hell. You know, وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or even within the people, even the people in Jannah. We might love someone and he might be a person from the Jannah, we might end up with him in Jannah, but you know, you might not want to be next to him in Jannah. See, it's simple as that, because as the Prophet said in the dunya, you know, there's a tanafah, there's certain people that you see, and they might be good people, but you don't have that affection to those people, and vice versa. You might see someone and feel so much affection for that person even though you don't know him. Why? Because the souls would have met on that day. And which day? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the souls and he said to those souls, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your Lord? You know, before he created our bodies and before the dunya, he gathered all the souls. And he asked all the souls, regardless of what they were going to become, Muslim or non-Muslim, he said to them, am I not your Lord? And everybody replied, indeed you are our Lord. This is the fitrah of everybody. The nature of every soul is that they are in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on that day, you know, you might have bumped into someone and you might have liked him. For that reason, in this dunya, you find people that you might meet, but you might not have that, you know, same kind of... you can't mingle with them, you can't associate with them. And the opposite, when you meet people and you feel so calm and so relaxed with them as if you've known them all your life. You know? So, similarly, if we meet people in Jannah, people that we loved, we will be with them. But, so... who should we love? You know, if the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, ask for the highest abode in Jannah, the highest place in Jannah, al-Firdaws al-A'la, the highest rank. Why? Why is Allah ﷺ saying to us, ask for the highest rank? You know, Jannah is Jannah from the beginning to the end. Why? Because to be with him ﷺ. Because that's what the real meaning is of Jannah, to be with the Prophet ﷺ in the companionship and in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. The way in the dunya, the highest rank a person can ever achieve is to have been in the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ, even for a blink of an eye, and he was a believer till the day he passed away. Similarly, being in the rank, in the company of the Prophet ﷺ is the highest of ranks in the next life. And the Prophet ﷺ has given us a free ticket to be in his company. Why? He said to us, all you have to do is love him, and the person you love, you will be in his company. You know, it's simple as that. And how are we going to love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we don't know him? You know, if you love someone, you want to find out you want to find out everything about them. You know, where were they born, where did they live, who their family was, who their mother was, who their father was, who their offspring was. You know, you want to know everything about them. So how can we love the Prophet ﷺ if we don't know anything about him? And how can we claim to love the Prophet ﷺ if we don't want to know anything about him? You know? So this is the key to loving him ﷺ, is to knowing him. And the key to knowing him is to study his life. You know, every detail of the Prophet ﷺ is being given to us. Can you imagine? From him ﷺ, from even his life with his wives and in his house ﷺ, every detail is being given to us. Whereas compared to the other Prophets, Isa alayhi salam, the Christians can't even prove that he even existed. Musa alayhi salam, the Jews can't even prove he even existed. You know, there's no record of Musa alayhi salam even being in Egypt. But obviously we know from the Quran that he was there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nasara and Fir'aun. But to them, even they cannot prove that he even existed. So, we're fortunate that we have the opportunity, you know, to be able to know and become aware of every day of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanAllah, just remembering the word opportunity, I just remembered, I was just telling the brother, I went to visit the prison on Friday, you know, and subhanAllah, the only thing that was sticking in my mind when we were sitting there in the Jummah and watching all these prisoners, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them opportunity. Okay, they have wronged themselves when they entered the prison, but they can use it as an opportunity. Why? Because they can say that to themselves, that there was something in my life that I hadn't done, but now I can do it. You know. And I spoke to one of the brothers and he was saying to me the exact same thing. He said to me, you know, outside in the world I had so many distractions and so many things that will come to distract me, but inside I've kept myself to myself and I've learned how to read the Quran properly. You know. But another thing that was sticking in my mind was that these guys have got an opportunity, but they've got something above this opportunity as well. They've got luxury. You know, in a prison they've got luxuries and opportunity. What more do they want to have? You know, they've been given a chance basically You know, as if like those people who want in the day of judgment, they're going to say to Allah, give us a chance so we can come back. It's exactly like those people, but unfortunately, those people don't have this chance. But these people have been given this chance, and they can, you know, come back and rehabilitate themselves. And the other thing that was clicking in my mind was that they've got these luxuries, but there was a sheikh from the Shuyukh of Damascus, while I was there studying, he was locked up in prison, but he was tortured every day. You know, he was beat every day. They used to burn cigarettes on him, break his arms. And, you know, the prison was a dungeon, underground. There's no light there. And they had to urinate and riyadu billah and do everything in that prison. And, you know, the people treat them like dirt. But these people were scholars. This sheikh in particular, when he went in there, he wasn't young. You know how old he was? He was over 50. And he was known amongst the scholars as a Shafi'i al-Saghir. You know, he was known as being Imam al-Shafi'i al-Saghir, you know, that great Imam. He was known as this great Imam. You know, the small version of this great Imam in this time, because he was such a great scholar. But then he ended up in prison. And you know how long he stayed there for? 24 years. And he was given the opportunity to come out. But he didn't come out. You know, because they told him to go against his ruling. And he said no. And he went back. And he stuck into the torture and the punishment. But what did he say? He said, I took this, I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He said, I took this as an opportunity. He said, even though I am a scholar and I am learned, I had not memorized the Quran fully. And so I think he either had a Quran, a small Quran in his pocket, because you were banned from having any sort of book. You couldn't even do your wudu, you know, let alone having a Quran in your pocket. So he either had that Quran in his pocket and he continued to have that Quran in his pocket till he left the prison, or he learned from the other people in the prison, with the other scholars there, or Huffaz of the Quran. And while he was there, he did not only memorize the Quran, but he taught generations of people the deen. Because he was, you know, like an encyclopedia, he didn't need the books. So I met his students, you know, grown men who came out, and they were, you know, mashallah, fuqaha. And so he said, I took this opportunity for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to come out from prison, because he had a stroke in the prison. So they said, you know, he's on his last leg, so they let him out. And then when he did come out, alhamdulillah, the stroke had gone, and he's back to normal. And he's like, Allah alam how old he is now, he's probably in his 70s. But, you know, subhanAllah, he's still, even though he's been locked away for so long, can you imagine? Every day he'll still go to gatherings of zikr, and he'll go to gatherings of lessons of other shuyukh. The shuyukh who are his students. But out of humbleness, he'll go and sit in those lessons and in these gatherings. Because there's something about these gatherings. You know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his angels, and he says to his angels, go see what my people are doing on the earth. You know, and these angels come in the morning and they come in the afternoon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows more than what the angels don't tell him, but he's asking him, go and tell me what my people are doing. So they shall return and they shall say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my people are doing zikr of me. My people are in my worship. My people are in a lesson. My people are learning about the deen. And the angels will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they shall inform him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will he say? He said, go and tell my people that I have forgiven all of them. And the angels, what will they say? They say, oh Allah, but they're amongst these people, there's someone who's not amongst these people. You know, he's just an outsider. But he was sitting amongst these pious people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the sake of these pious people, he should forgive this sinful person as well. So, you know, and the point is though, a person who's such a great scholar, he still continues to go and sit in the gatherings of the ulama who are in the rank of his students, to be part of that gathering, part of that majlis, when the angels descend and then they encompass that gathering, you know, with their mercy and with rahmah, with mercy and peace, you know, and they shower that gathering with mercy, the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. So, yeah, we were talking about prison, weren't we? So, but subhanAllah, I was mentioning to Brother Abdul Hadi, you know, before I came, there's a verse which is you know, which is related to criminals, if you're going to come across, subhanAllah, in the next couple of verses. Naam. ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. And O children of Adam, did we not have a bond with you, did we not enjoin with you that you shall not worship the shaitan? You know, but many people will think and turn around and say, but hang on a minute, how many people from Bani Adam actually worship the shaitan? You know, if we did a consensus, if we look at the census, you know, how many people actually turn out to be devil worshippers? You know, it's going to be a few. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just talking here about the literal sense in people worshipping the devil. Rather, he's talking about the people who worship the devil through his waswasa, through his whispers. The people who worship the devil through his obstacles which he puts in front of people, and the desires and the distractions he puts in front of people's eyes. So they stop listening, and so they stop paying attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing them of. You know. So he says that, and did I not enjoin with you, O children of Adam, that you shall not worship the shaytan, Iblis? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Indeed, he is for you a clear enemy. عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. And what do you do when you have an enemy? You know, anybody who has an enemy, he will try to stay away from him. That's the reason why he was called عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. So we stay away from him, from the shaytan. And he is, in fact, عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, a clear enemy for us, you know. And he's so clear that sometimes something which is so clear can be a disguise and a veil. They say in Arabic, شِدَّةُ الْقُرْبِ حِجَاب. You know, something which is so close to you can become a hijab. It's like, and they're saying like, the ulama and the arifin and the scholars, you know, a pious person and a scholar and a literal, a knowledgeable person, or even a noble person, he might be a simple person, the people who are closest to him, they are the most veiled from him. You know, like the family or the neighbors, they'll say, oh, he's just a normal, you know, person, our neighbor and our friend, we've known him for so long, oh, he's just my father, you know. But they'll be the closest and they'll be the most veiled. You have to be careful when we're dealing with people, you know, because we might be in front of someone or in the company of someone, and we might be thinking, you know, this guy's just a nobody. Or just not think of anything of him, or think of something of ourselves. But in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes, he could be far greater. That's why one of the scholars always used to advise me, he used to say, think of every single person as being Khidr alayhi salam. You know Khidr, the famous wali, you know the story of Musa alayhi salam, he's known to appear even till this time. Think of everybody as being Khidr alayhi salam. Because you don't know who Khidr is, but so if you think of anybody and everybody to be Khidr, you will never think bad of him, because you know, you don't, even though you don't know who he is, but you know he's a pious person. Even though you don't know who he is, you know he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's a knowledgeable person. Naam. And one of the scholars from Algeria, when he used to come to Damascus, he used to say to people, he used to say to the scholars even, rather, that I'm worried when I go through the aswaq in Damascus, the marketplaces in Damascus, because even the fruit sellers, mashallah, they are on a high level of wilaya and rank, and I'm worried I might think bad of them or something might happen to me. You know. And the Prophet ﷺ talked about these kind of people. He said, you know, maybe there'll be a person who is ash'ath akbar. He's, you know, his clothes are ripped, you know, normal clothes. You know, he's not wearing fancy suits or dresses or imamas or thobes. But and he's maybe he's got dust on him, or even soot from coal and things like that. But if he لو أقسم على الله لأبره, if he did qasam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and became angry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that qasam and fulfill his dua, and you know, something could happen to you. So it's a scary thing when you're dealing with people in the dunya. Subhanallah. Naam. It's like, I think we heard a story from Habib Ali al-Ghifari, Habibullah as well. He's saying that in Yemen, you know, someone was told, he was told that 40 awliya, 40 friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 40 pious people pass through this, you know, valley every day. So someone heard this and, you know, out of arrogance and, you know, his ignorance, he thought, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, I'm here all the time. I never see 40 people passing through here every day. So he went there and he picked up 40 stones and he started stoning everyone that used to come past. The first one, the second one, the third one. And he could see from their appearance and, you know, that they were pious, or someone might tell him, or, you know, there was some kind of sign. So he got to 39 and he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for number 40 and thinking, you know, where else is this number 40? He's not turning up. So there was a rubbish guy there. And he turned around to him and said, come on, what are you waiting for? I've got to go. Throw the stone. And he was in a state of shock. You know, so you don't know who this person might be. And another story related in the books of the Salaf, there was a person who was, you know, he was returning to his house late night and he saw someone cleaning the rubbish on the street, and he said to himself, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from being in his state, you know, being a rubbish person, you know, belittling him, thinking, what, you know, look where he is, look where I am. And he was saying it to himself, and the person turned around and he said to him, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from your state, you know, state of people thinking bad of other people, you know, who is far worse, because a person who thinks bad of a person is in fact thinking bad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. Su'a dhan bil khalq is su'a dhan bil khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in that state. The person thinking bad of such a person is thinking bad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite is true as well. The person who thinks good of a person, he's thinking good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you think good of me, then I am entirely the way you think of me. If you think good of me, then I am good to you. And if you think bad of me, then that's what you're going to get. You know. So we should always try to think that, you know, never think the worst. Never think, you know, the worst of things. Always say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do this for me. It's going to be good for me. You know. And think good of people and think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these high characteristics. You know, they're not easy. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if you were told that a mountain was moving, believe. If a mountain was moving, if someone told you a mountain was moving, believe it. But if someone told you someone's character changed, then don't believe it. Because it's not as simple as that, it's not easy as that. A mountain moving is far easier than someone's character changing. So it's something we have to work on, you know. And we have to struggle within ourselves. La ilaha illallah. Naam. وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And that you should worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that you should worship me. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And this is the straight path. You know, صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. The صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ that we read in our prayers every day. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. This is what the straight path is. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our entirety. And worship is not coming to the mosque and praying and doing our actions. Rather, worship begins in the inside first, then it is manifest on the outside. Worship is in the inside, then it's manifest on the outside. You know? So when we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inwardly, then we know for definite that we are worshipping Him. We are worshipping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly and in reality and in sincerity. And it's not just that we're coming and doing our actions and throwing our arms up and hitting our heads on the floor and then leaving. نعم نعم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون. And indeed he has misguided and sent astray many of you. Who's he? Iblis, a shaitan. Indeed he has sent astray and misguided many of you. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. And shall you not be of people of intellect, people of wisdom, people who know? You know, this is a sign, as we've been saying from the last couple of pages, that these are signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continually reminding us, and Allah, as He says, that the signs are within us and the signs are in the horizon, in front of us, that we shall become aware and know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these signs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and shall, aren't we going to become aware and use our intellect and know that the shaitan is misguiding us the way he has misguided people prior to us? How do we know this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this. He has told us this in the Quran with the previous nation and the Paris nation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in the hadith in the, about the Paris nation, and likewise in the Quran about the Paris nation, about the people in his day, and about the people who shall come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us of people who shall be punished, who shall come after, even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. So these are all signs for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون. Naam. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the hell, Jahannam, which you were promised. You know, when they're saying previously, متى يكون هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين, and when shall be this promise if you are truthful? You know, where is this promise you were telling us about? You're always telling us there's a hell, you're always telling us there's a heaven, so where is it? Allah says, and this is the hell, the promise that you were asking about. This is the hell which you were promised. اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون. Ah, we passed that verse, subhanAllah. Oh my, oh God. I'm thinking, where is that verse going to come when we're talking about the mujrimun, the prisoners and the criminals? Mm-hmm. And we missed a couple of verses, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. What are you telling me, subhanAllah? We missed a few verses, subhanAllah. Yeah. So we'll go back now. See, talking about people of hell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go back to the people of heaven. SubhanAllah. Look at the hikmah. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he said, we just started talking about the people of hell, but he wants us, and the people of, the talk of the people of heaven had gone. But because we missed something from the people of heaven, he wants us to go back. You know, what more do we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we were talking about last week. When, you know, you're in a situation and you're stuck and there's nothing that can save you and there's nothing that can help you, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy comes over you and then He pulls you out. You know, like when someone's in the river and he's drowning and he's screaming and shouting and he's looking around, there's no one there, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves him. He sends him something and pulls him out of his misery. You know, even when we're out on the streets and we're doing our thing, or we're at work, or we're at college, at university, and whatnot, and then a temptation comes in front of us, a sin comes in front of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy, pulls us out. Like a brother was saying to me once, he was a student at university, and he's never done anything bad in his life, and mashallah, he's a young brother, but he's into his training, and his bodybuilding, and you know, his looks and everything. And so he said to me, he's keeping himself in university, he's from Birmingham, and he's in London, doing pharmacy. And he said, you know, every time people would knock on the door and say, you know, aren't you going to come down and we'll sit down and, you know, whatnot, sit in the club and the pub. And he said, no, I'm busy, I'm doing something. So one day he said, I went down and I just sat there. They were just sitting, you know, you can drink water and we'll sit there, you know, kind of thing. But then he said, as I was sitting there, instead of me getting myself a glass of water, I got myself a drink. And he had never done such a thing in his life. And subhanAllah, look how the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and saved him. He got a phone call and it was his father. So he rushed out to answer the phone call. And once he had removed himself from the vicinity of things, he realized. Became from the people of aqal, of intellect, realized, and obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him above all things. It wasn't from his own self, but he realized, hang on a minute, where was I? What am I doing? So he went back up to his room and he carried on with his call, and that was it. He didn't go back. And that was a sign for him, and he learned from that sign, and it never happened to him again, and he finished university. But imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't save him and kept him in his misery and left him there, where he would have ended up. Not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't save people even when they do end up in their misery, but there's a far greater distinction between someone who's going to be saved before him doing something or someone who's going to be saved after him doing something. But at the same time, it's of course from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he used to do something every day. You know, not only did he try to stay away from these people, stay away from these places, these are the people of sin and the places of sin, but he used to do something and keep himself occupied, which was, he used to say to me, I should sit there and read Quran, and keep on reading Quran, and you know, Ramadan, go for Tarawih and come back and read Quran, wake up for Tahajjud, and you know, busy himself with ibadah, with something which will keep himself away from these people of sin and places of evil. And so he was coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made his move, you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you make your move one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back 10 steps to you. You know, obviously not literally in steps, but it's just to show how much more in abundance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes closer to us. You know, one step, and then he comes to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he made that first move of keeping himself away from this. Not simply by staying away, but by doing something, you know, keeping yourself occupied. And we're all prone to these kind of things, you know, at work, in every single situation, at work, in colleges, in schools, and even people in prisons, you know. But if they, like the brother was saying to me, he says, you know, I'll keep myself away from people and I'll recite Quran. And there was a friend of mine who passed away, who ended up in prison, and he would have had a long sentence. So when he came out, I said to him, how did you come out? He said, I kept myself to myself, and every day I used to recite a juz of Quran. He said, by the time I got to the 30th juz, they let me go. You know, see, you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to you subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Okay, so we were going back to the verse, salamun qawlam min rabbi rahim, and a powerful verse, and a verse that's continually recited. Peace. Qawlam min rabbi rahim, a word, a speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your merciful Lord, al-Rahim. You know, peace. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, you know, if you want peace and security and, you know, alhamdulillah, amongst yourselves, what should you do? He said, afshu salam, spread as-salam, peace. As-salamu alaykum, say as-salamu alaykum to people. You know, it spreads the peace among you. And as-salam is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so it's not just us saying as-salamu alaykum, rather we are invoking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salam. And then we are invoking amongst us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses us with this name of His, this the quality of His name, as-salam, peace. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying salam, this is something which is special. It's from your Lord, the merciful. You know, and this is what the people of Jannah will be saying. So like anything, if you get used to doing something, then you will never stop doing it. You know, it's like a repetitive job when you're doing something and you're just on that, you know, position, and you're always doing that job. You'll never be able to, you know, forget that job. You become part and parcel of the job, you know. Likewise, if we remember as-salam, in the dunya, then we won't forget it in the akhirah. Then we will be amongst those people of as-salam. And likewise with all these other characteristics and all these other beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we invoke these names, the more we behave in this way, then we will be of those people in the next life. You know, like Prophet ﷺ said, the closest of you to me will be whom? The people who recite the most praise and salutations upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet ﷺ said, you know, if you want to be close to me, and the closest people to me, and the most worthiest of people to me, are those who send the most praise and salutations upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. And of course, you know, anything or anyone you love, what do? You remember them the most. You know, you're always talking about them. You're always thinking about them. You know, how often do we think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How often do we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How often do we even try to start a conversation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Prophets are awake and alive in their graves. In the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which Imam al-Suyuti narrates. So how often do we try to, you know, build this relationship between us and the Prophet ﷺ? You know, even though the Sahaba were there in that time, and they are far greater than us, and we will never reach their rank, but nothing to say that we cannot start communication with him ﷺ and become closer to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not at all. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mar'u ma man ahab. Every, in each person is the person whom he loves. So how can we be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we can't have that connection with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So then he goes, okay, we'll finish on this last verse because it's connecting us back to the verses that we had mentioned. And going back, when he begins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the characteristics of the mujrimun, he says, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, and be differentiated today, all you criminals. You know, be differentiated today, all you criminals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to them, you know, that's all he's going to say to them. You know, these people of Jannah, they're getting this, they're getting, you know, salam, they're getting fawakih, you know, fruits and enjoyment. But you people today, be differentiated. Oh, you al-mujrimun, today in modern Arabic you translate it as criminals or prisoners even. And one of the brothers was saying to me, that was with me, he said that the school that he studied at, the sheikh says to the students who graduate and they go end up becoming imams in prison, he says to them, "Antum a'immat al-mujrimin." He says to them, "You are the imams of the mujrimin, of the criminals." You know, in Arabic you say imam al-muttaqin, the imam of the praiseworthy people. That means you're the imam of the praiseworthy people and you are of the praiseworthy people. So he says to them, the imam of the criminals. Because they go to the prisons and they lead the prayer and they, you know, basically are their imam in the total sense of giving them guidance and help and things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, and today all you prisoners become differentiated from the people of Jannah. You know, and I was thinking of Brother Abdul Hadi, subhanAllah, when I went to that prison, it was, you know, it wasn't just being there, it was getting there. I mean, I've been to a prison before, I went to visit someone a long time ago, but it wasn't like this prison, subhanAllah. It was out in the middle of nowhere. And he was asking me, in Safak, well, where was it? I said, I can't explain to you. Out in the middle of nowhere, you just go, you keep going and going and fields, and it's just in the middle of nowhere. And then when you get there, there's so many walls and you know, wired gates and barbed wire everywhere, one wall after wall after. I said to somebody, it's like Palestine, you know. I said, subhanAllah, I got there, and psychologically, and you know, within myself, I was feeling compressed. And when I was telling him when I was coming, I started talking about it. I said, I could even feel that compression coming to me now. just talking about it, it was just something which is like, you know, unbearable and unimaginable. Imagine those people who have to be there. I was saying to myself, I can't be there. Just thinking of it, forget it, after coming to that place, and those people have to go in on that first day, imagine what it's like. You know, you can't imagine what it's like, subhanAllah. And some people are in there for 4 years, 5 years, some are in there for life. And we were in there, and then, because we weren't like normal visitors, we were actually visiting the whole prison. But because we got there late, we didn't go around to the cells. But we were like going from door to door, from door to door, you know, passing through doors, and the guy was opening the door, locking the door behind us. Yeah, psychologically, you just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. He's locking all the doors behind you, and then he has to come out and he has to open every door for you, and you're just going round and round in circles. And when you're looking, you're just seeing metal bars at the windows, or when you're outside in the court, just all these big gates and then barbed wire. And then when you're looking out, you can't see nothing anyway, it's all fields. You can't see nothing. I was going to ask him, has anybody tried to do a Shawshank Redemption? So, you know, here, I don't think it's possible. There's no space here, yeah. But it was really,
really
even not even going to the cells, subhanAllah, it was enough mentally, just like, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you know, just, it's terrifying. And you're not even in there, subhanAllah. Nasallallahu al-afwa wa al-afiyah. We won't say like Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran, oh Allah, the prison is more beloved to us. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam says in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, he says the prison is more beloved to us, oh Allah. So, oh Allah, the prison is not more beloved to us, inshaAllah. Keep us out of it. InshaAllah. Nasallallahu al-afwa wa al-afiyah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alameen. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Where
was the prison? Do you
remember? Well, why did you go there?
No, we didn't get, alhamdulillah, we didn't get locked up. Not yet.